Amen. Well, let's pray, because we're going to get into the Word of God today. And we've been doing a whole series called Christmas at the Movies. And it's been a little fun, a little lighthearted, but yet at the same time, I believe there's some things we can learn. And we always go right back to the Scripture. All right? So let's pray. So, Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you, God, it has the power to change the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak. God, to help by your Holy Spirit to transform our character so that we can become more like you. And we thank you for this time in the Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, today I want to talk to you about a particular movie. It happens to be one of my favorite Christmas movies. And this is a line from the movie. See if you guys can figure it out. I passed through the seven levels of the candy cane forest, through the sea of swirly gumdrops. And then I walked through the Lincoln Tunnel. And the movie today that we're going to just kind of reference is Elf. It's Elf. If you have not ever seen this movie, it's funny. But full disclosure, with the exception of Charlie Brown, okay, because we did Charlie Brown's Christmas, these movies are not theological treaties or treatises. Yeah. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
These are not, we're not learning theology from them, okay? We might get some inspiration, have a good laugh, and enjoy the Christmas season from them, but they're not gospel.
That's right.
Can I hear a amen? All right. But there are some things that we can point out and that we can learn and we can glean from. And so they're not exact allegories. So allegories like Charles Dickens, you know, Christmas Carol, they break down because we don't come back and haunt people.
Right.
Right. Right. That's not something that we get to do. And so a lot of these Christmas stories, they have a good feeling for us. Through Christmas movies, they have great feeling for us, and it's really kind of inspirational. But at the same time, sometimes if we just get our eyes on Christmas movies, we will forget the reason for the season.
Right.
And so one of the things that I when I was praying about this particular series, Christmas at the Movies, you know, I really struggled a little bit. Like, but God, you know, we're not just giving into the commercialization of Christmas, right? We want to keep the main thing, and that's the birth of Christ. And you know, but at the same time, I was like, well, God, there's messages in these movies that actually, some of them are really good messages. And so as I was thinking about the movie Elf, in the Christmas movie Elf, if you haven't seen it, there's a character, and he discovers that he was a human raised by elves. That's the premise. Will Ferrell stars in the movie. And he travels back to New York City to find his biological dad. And so in the process, he learns and he teaches others about caring and unconditional love. And one of the things that struck me as I began to say, okay, God, what are you saying in this? He said, identity. Identity. It is something that is a buzzword in our culture right now. Everybody's looking for identity in something. And Elf, Buddy the Elf, he's looking for himself. He's trying to find himself, right? And isn't that a lot like all of us? That, you know, it's a story that asks several simple questions that we have asked and wrestled with ourselves. It's the same question that human beings have been asking about identity, about, number one, who am I? Who am I? Number two, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? Number three, where is my company, my place? Where do I fit? And number four, how can faith make a difference? And when you look at these themes, we see that it's, you know, Buddy the Elf's journey is filled with humor. There are funny clips. There are funny things that you can watch and see. But at the same time, there were certain qualities that Buddy the Elf exhibited. Number one, he's trying to find his real identity because he doesn't fit with elf culture, although he knows elf culture very well. In fact, what does he say? The best way to spread Christmas cheer is to what? Smile and to sing loud for all to hear, right? That was one of his lines. So the thing about it is that all of us can identify with certain themes, certain concepts that are in some of these Christmas movies. But when I was thinking about it, I said, God, you know, all of us, we've wrestled with a fallen human nature. That, you know, Romans tells us, for all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. Guess what? We don't really fit anywhere. Because we're in the bucket that we fit in is a fallen human race. That's the bucket that we fit in. And it doesn't matter our background economically. It doesn't matter our national background. It doesn't matter our race. It doesn't matter our politics. We all fall into this bucket of fallen humanity. And yet we're longing to find our identity somewhere. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to see some things about identity. We're all asking the question, who am I? You know, growing up in the, going to high school in the 70s and then the early 80s, one of the things that was a big thing is that when kids graduated from high school, they all wanted to go to backpack in Europe to, quote, find themselves. Did anybody remember that? It was a thing. You know, they would buy a Euro pass and they would fly to Germany or somewhere and just travel around with a backpack and no money, no cell phones, and kind of sleep in hostels and experience something, right? They were, quote, going to find themselves before they started college. You know, and it's because we as human beings are longing to be connected. We're longing to be connected to our Creator. The Word is very clear that we were created in the image of God. We were created in His image. So there are things in us that are like God, but they're fallen, they're broken. And what we need is we need a Savior. We need a Savior. Now, throughout Elf's journey, you know, he comes up against this, I don't fit, I don't fit. You know, he's trying to make, he's 6 foot, whatever he is, and he's in an elf land, and he's trying to make toys, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And sometimes we find that our lives don't always work the way they should work. God created us to be creative, to be connected with Him. And when we're not connected with Him, we lose our way. We don't find our way. If you'll recall in the movie, or if you haven't seen it, Santa tells Elf, that Buddy the Elf, that his father is on the naughty list. And he screams, no, not the naughty list. You know, and the truth is that every one of us was on the naughty list. If it wasn't for Christ, right? And Santa is not Christ, right? Am I right about that? So, you know, Jesus came to take us off the naughty list.
Thank you, Lord.
Aren't you glad?
Yes.
So our identity has to do with, number one, how much does God love us? Now, earlier in the service, one of our teenagers, Nivy, read those three verses out of John 3, 16, 17, and 18. And we're here in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, did I say that? Ephesians. No, I meant to say Philippians, I'm sorry. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, in talking about his own pedigree, if you will, and who he is, and in verse 4, he says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he have confidence in the flesh, I have more. In other words, this is who I am. This is who I was born to be. And he goes on, he says, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, which is... persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. In other words, he's saying, I did it all right. I did it right. He says, but that those things were gained to me. These I've counted as loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of knowledge of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Verse 9, he says, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. He goes on to say in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his likeness, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. He is talking about who he is. He's talking about, he thought he knew who he was. But he was putting confidence in the flesh. Now, I think the church, by and large, has done a terrible job of teaching people how to discern between the Spirit of God and our flesh. We've done a really horrible job of teaching that. So what ends up happening is we have people who, because they think they feel something, they say that's their identity. When our identity is not found in that I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. It's not found in the political party that I'm a part of. It's not found in any of those earthly things or the voice of the flesh. Because if you'll listen to the voice of your flesh, it will run you right in the ground. If you'll listen to the voice of the flesh, it sometimes takes people all the way to jail. Or ends their life if they listen to their carnal nature, the fallen human nature. You say, well, I would never do that. Well, flesh is flesh. My flesh is just as capable of doing something terrible as your flesh. It is the Spirit of God and giving into the Spirit of God and crucifying the flesh. That's what the Word tells us to do. In other words, to put that nature under so that I could be all that I'm supposed to be in Christ. That's how we should be teaching people. Instead, what ends up happening is the culture tells us, do what feels good to you. That is your identity. Isn't that what they say? That's why we have an entire generation longing for identity, searching for things, and it's like they're holding on to sand flying through their fingertips. There's nothing solid to it, and it blows like the wind. It is all based on emotion. It's based on nothing but just, I think, I feel, I want. And they get into that. But the Apostle Paul here says, listen, if I had any reason to put confidence in my flesh, I had more than you. He's basically saying, I did it all right. But I had to throw that away in order to know Christ. And so when we find out who we are, we find out, number one, how much God loves us. We find out that we're loved. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're loved. Now I want you to smile at them real big and say, smiling's my favorite. That's a line from the movie Elf. Smiling's my favorite. There was a couple times I actually, you see these pictures of Elf on social media, and sometimes got that big cheesy grin. And one post I saw one time said, "Church is my favorite." You know? And I thought, that's me. I want to be around church, you know? I was speaking to one of the brothers during the meet and greet time, and he said, "You know, I just look forward to coming to church. I look forward every week coming here. Why? There is love in this house. There is love in the house. There is joy in the house." That's what we sang about today. Today, the third Sunday of Advent, joy. So joy comes deep from within, knowing who you are, knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we look at, some of these Christmas movies, we see these wonderful themes, and we, you know, get the popcorn out, or if you're watching Hallmark Christmas movies, you can kind of just go and miss like 10 minutes of it, come back and know exactly how it's going to end. Right? Because it just follows a simple pattern, you know? It's like really simple. It's like, okay, yep, it's lots of snow, lots of greenery, and, that kind of thing. And you just, I know exactly what's going to happen. You know, this one's going to fall in love with this one, and this guy's going to get dissed, and that's just, that's what's going to happen. They don't make a movie about the guy who got dissed. You know, they don't. You know, that'd be like a horror flick or something. I don't know. You know, but so they just don't, they don't talk about that, right? So, who am I? Who am I is a question all of us ask. Well, who we are in Christ is what should be one of our driving forces in our lives. Not what background we are. Listen, I'm proud to be an American, but I got news for you. It's still a system. It's still an earthly level of everything. As awesome as it is, I got to tell you, that's just the way it is. You know, when we look at our lives, what are we putting faith in? What are we putting our identity in? Our identity doesn't come from anything but that we were created in the image of God. We were created in the image of God. It's neither Greek nor Jew, right? But it's the same Lord all in all. He is beyond what we can imagine. Verse 20 of that same chapter, listen to what he says. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform our lowly body that we might be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." He's talking about his identity is now in Christ. His identity is, I'm one of them. I'm a Christian. I am identified with Christ. Let's back up to verse 12. He says this, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." And he goes on to say, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." He is telling us to walk in a way that is pleasing to God by getting rid of the past. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When you become a Christian, when you've received Christ, you still have all the same stuff that you had before, but something happens on the inside that you now have a new nature on the inside. You don't get to just do all the things that you used to do before, because you won't, first of all, be happy doing them. You're going to be miserable. Because, you know, the world, when they've never met Christ and they go out and they do stuff, it doesn't bother them. But what happens is when you've met Christ and you try to do those things, you're just kind of miserable. You're kind of got one foot in the world, one foot out of the world. When Elf left his home, he left his elfly home to come to New York City. And he realized there was a disconnect. You know, he realized, wait, this is not the same as Elfland, right? And so he realizes there's a difference. When you have tasted of the Lord and you have tasted of salvation, you realize there's a difference. There is a difference. So when you do the things that you shouldn't be doing, there's a scratching on the inside. Your carnal nature, your fleshly nature wants to do wrong things, but your spirit nature is fighting on the inside saying, no, that's you shouldn't be doing that. Nope, shouldn't be doing that. And that's what happens. You know, so when we're looking at the scriptures of who am I? Discovering who you are in Christ is one of the best things to do to mature in the things of God. You find out who you are in Him. Not who you are in yourself, but who you are in Christ. And being in Christ is so much more valuable than just trying to do it all yourself. Amen? All right. So not only that, but we have to find our purpose. Find out what gifts are down on the inside. Find out what is our purpose. In the movie Elf, Elf tries to do certain things the way he used to do things, and it just didn't work very well for him. But then he found out there were certain things that were in his life that actually were a blessing. And you see, by the end of the movie, he's telling stories, which he was very good at. He's telling stories. He's very arts and crafty, remember? And so he's actually, that's where he finds his purpose. Now, when we find our purpose, we don't find our purpose in just telling stories, and we don't find our purpose in just doing good things. We find our purpose by engaging in the kingdom of God. We find out that there are gifts. Perhaps you're a musician. Perhaps you're good at speaking. Perhaps you're good at marketing. Perhaps you're good at spreading the word about different things. Perhaps you're good at working with your hands, making things. And when you find out those things and you give them over to God, God is able to do so much more with them. He's able to use them. So when we find out, number one, who we are, we find out how much we're loved. We find out that God has a purpose. He's got a destiny. And it's beyond what our human culture tells us. It's so much bigger than that. That you have a purpose, you have a plan, you have a destiny. Just last month, we did our Sink Your Vision retreat. Find vision for yourself, for your family, for your church. And during that day retreat, we discovered how much God loved us. We experienced God's love through God's people. We took a little gifts assessment. Found out that there were certain gifts that God placed in each one of us. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've got gifts. And now say, you've got purpose. You see, when we find out that purpose, and we find that out through prayer, you find that out through engaging in kingdom building activity. When you find out that purpose, It just motivates you. You want to do more. When I first became a Christian, I remember I wanted to be in church every single time the doors were open. Every single time. I just wanted to be there. In fact, I rode my bike. It was before I was a driver. I rode my bike about 3 miles to the Christian bookstore. And I would hang out there after school. I would hang out at the Christian bookstore because I felt at home in a place like that, where Christian music was being played and there were books all around. That's, and I remember the owner, I'm surprised the owner didn't kick me out. because I would literally sit down on the floor and read books that I didn't buy. But during that season, I was hungry for God. I wanted to find my purpose. And when we first come to Christ, knowing who we are in Christ is so vital. Finding out what our purpose is. You know, as a freshman coming home that first semester of school and telling my parents that I switched my major from being a business major to being a theology major and that I was going to go into the ministry, I was afraid what they might say. I knew my mom would be kind of cool with it, but my dad was, you know, he was a corporate guy, and he wanted me to get a good business education. Like any father, you want them to do well, right? You want your kids to do well. And I know my dad wanted me to do well. And yet at the same time, I was afraid to tell him. But I remember when I told him, he hugged me and he said, "I'm so proud of you." You know, and those are moments when we find out our purpose and we answer what God wants us to do. It is so much better for us. It doesn't mean we're going to not have difficulties, but we're going to have the ability to walk through them. So you find out what your purpose is. Find out where your company is. Where's my place? Where is my place? My place. And as a Christian, I believe your place is in a local church, a place where you can develop those gifts. Look at every major popular secular artist in the last 20, 30 years, and you see some of the top biggest names in show business. They got their start in church. Now, some of them got off track, right? The world got a hold of them, but they literally developed their gifts, their talents in a church setting. It is the best place to learn and grow and develop as a believer. Amen? And so you find your purpose and you find your company. That is the where. And then, how can belief change my reality? Faith can move mountains. Jesus said it. Mark chapter 11. We'll go ahead and turn there if you would, please. Mark chapter 11. At the end of the movie Elf, you know, there was a dearth of Christmas spirit. You know, last year, or year before, my sister sent a little clausometer, which tells if there's Christmas spirit in the house. And it basically is just a noise thing. If there's enough noise in the house, the clausometer goes up, you know, because you're supposed to sing loudly for all to hear. But, you know, in our world today, there seems to be a dearth of faith, but I've been hearing inklings of revival all over. Just last week, there was a pastor of a church, I believe it was down in Georgia somewhere, down south, they baptized 143 people in one Sunday.
Praise God.
I mean, we saw what happened over this last year with the Asbury revival. We've heard revival pockets everywhere across the globe. We've seen what's happening in the church in China, where the church in China is expanding faster and faster and faster. Some of our friends and colleagues who went to Rhema Bible College, they're seeing just their colleges growing all over the earth. People studying for the ministry. People saying, "I'm called to the ministry. I found my purpose and I want to make a difference." And when we look at this, the question that we ask, and the question I believe Elf was asking, was how can belief change the reality that I'm living in? You know, how can belief change the reality that I'm living in? Well, Mark chapter 11 and verse 20, we're going to go ahead and pick up Mark 11, verse 20. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. Now, this is considered the famous faith passage. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed, be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. The power of faith. The power of faith. We see this evident in a fictitious story about a human raised by elves. But that's the reality is that as believers, our faith can change circumstances. Our faith can see your body healed. Our faith can see the miraculous happen in your life when people said that was impossible. That's impossible to get that debt forgiven. Oh yeah? Watch what God does. That's impossible to be able to come through that medical situation without any problems. That's impossible. Well, what man says is impossible, God says this is possible. Because remember what Mary said. Remember what Mary said? Be it unto me according to your word. Right? That's what she said. When we take that same posture in the belief of faith that says, okay, Lord, whatever your word says, I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to see it happen. And that is the final word. I'm going to see it happen because your word declares it. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11 says, I sent my word out and it accomplished that which I sent it to do. God's word does not return back unto him void. When we believe his word, that's what he's asking of each one of us. Elf, in the movie Elf, the Christmas spirit was raised when people were awakened to the belief, right? And that was all a fictitious fantasy story. But I'm going to tell you right now, this country, your world, your family will change when you start operating in faith like never before. When you see that God is real in your everyday life. And I believe this church knows that. I believe this church has seen that time and time and time again, whether we've seen it in my own story of my brain bleed, or when you've seen it in Brother Silvio literally flatlining on the table and coming back to life, whether you see it and you hear the stories of miraculous interventions of car accidents and things of that nature. God is at work in his people. And belief can change your circumstances. Mountains can be moved. And this Christmas, not only can you know who you are in Christ and understand your purpose. That's not something that's far-fetched. When you understand your purpose, I believe you do understand your purpose. To live for God. That when you understand what it means to be a part of a life-giving family that gives life, that's there when you're in trouble, that's there when you're in joy, that rejoices with you when you get the promotion, and prays with you when you didn't get the job that you were believing for. When we are holding each other together in faith. When you've gone through the difficulty, when you've lost that family member and you're grieving, those are the times that we need each other. Those are the times that a community of faith is so vital, when we find our place in the body of Christ and find out that, listen, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. The worst thing we can do is just be alone. You know, the enemy loves to just separate off people so that he can just kind of get them off by themselves. And then he just ravages them. And they think that, well, God's mad at me because I don't go to church anymore and I'm by myself. And then he tells them all kinds of stuff and keeps them isolated. I got news for you. If you'll just come and be a part of a life-giving church, I believe that God will help you overcome every flaw and imperfection of that church. Because I got news for you. I'm flawed, and I'm a pastor of a church. So if you're looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find it here. But if you're looking for people who love God and who want to grow in the things of God, then this is a place for you. This is a place for you. Because as soon as we're looking just for that perfect place, well, you don't know, brother, I was hurt by church. Yeah. And everybody else was too. At some point, somebody's been disappointed by a Christmas, or excuse me, by a Christian somewhere, right? We've been hurt. We've been, you know, every one of us, right? It's happened. But our identity is in Christ. Our identity, our purpose is in Christ. Our family is the family of God, and you can't just divorce yourself from the family of God. Right? You can't just isolate yourself. Well, I'm just me and Jesus. It's just going to be me and Jesus. Well, Jesus is the head of the church. He's coming back for a church. That means all of us. That he's coming back for a church. And that means he's expecting us to walk in love and learn to walk in love. And that's not always easy. Right? That's not always easy. You got to overlook each other's faults. You got to forgive each other. Really? Yes. You got to. And the more you do it, the better it is. And the world sees that we love one another and they say, I want that. You know, you can join a lot of social clubs. You can join a lot of do-good ministries and things that are doing good. But when you're a part of a family of God, there's something very different about that. Very different. And when you are a part of that family of God, you just belong. It's better than being a Yankee fan. It's better than being a Met fan. It's better that I've got to do both in this house. Right? It's better. It's no Red Sox fans here, though. I don't think so, unless you tell me they're a... We'll pray for you later. But God wants us to learn and grow, and the way we learn and grow is we do things with each other. We do things with each other. We work for the kingdom with each other. And we grow and we sharpen each other. The Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Have you ever taken two pieces of iron and rubbed them together? They heat up. Sometimes they spark. And that's part of God's design for us to mature. That there is something that you bring to the table, and there's something that I bring to the table. Together we grow up in the things of God. We stay with Jesus and the Word of God, and we found our company. So not only do we know who we are in Christ, not only have we discovered our purpose, not only have we discovered, you know, our own company, our own place that we belong, but now we can make a difference by believing together and seeing God do great things in our midst. You know, already this week, God has been just downloading some things for me for the new year, and I'm getting excited in my spirit for the new year. And I am really, really excited. You guys, not only do you not want to miss Christmas Eve, but you don't want to miss New Year's Eve. Because there are things that I believe God wants to download into this church. And I'm really, really excited. And so just keep your expectation on. And, you know, as I've said before, this is invite season. Say invite season. This is an opportunity for you to invite people to church. Because, you know, you can tell people all day long, I've got a great church. But if they've never experienced it, it's really hard. It's hard to describe. Being part of a body of believers. But when you invite them, they can experience it for themselves, and that is how things happen. We want them to experience themselves. Already this week, just so you know, Pastor invites people. Okay? I invite people. I do. This week alone, I've invited 6 people. Now, I want everybody in here to see if you can beat me this week and invite as many people and see if you can beat me. Can you do better than 6? All right? Maybe you can. There's invite cards in the back. Say, hey, I want you to come to our Christmas Eve service if you don't have anything to do. Most people have stuff to do Christmas Eve evening. A lot of people still have Christmas Eve morning open unless they're a last minute shopper. All right, so you can invite people. It's going to be a great service. They're going to go away hearing the message of the gospel, they're going to know that Jesus loves them. They're going to see it in action in this place. So I encourage you to do so. Let's pray. And just know that your identity is found in Christ. Your purpose is found in Christ. Your company is found in being part of the family of God. And your faith can change circumstances. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for your word. God, that it has the power to change us. Lord, that we have been transformed. Lord, to become more and more like you. God, that our identity is not found in our flesh. It's not found in what we think, what we feel. It's found in what you say and what Jesus came to do. Father, I pray if there is anybody that is watching online or if there's anybody here in this place who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they've never been born again. They might know about you, God. They might even know about Jesus. But Lord, if there's anybody here who's never met you personally, Father, I pray that today would be their day. And Father, I pray that your love would touch them in the name of Jesus. Now, with every head continued to be bowed right now, we're going to pray a simple prayer of salvation and rededication. If you need to receive Christ or you need to rededicate your life to Christ, I want you just to raise up your hand so that I can see it. So that's between you, me, and God. I know it. That way I can pray for you. So if that's you in this place, I want you to raise up your hand and say, that's me. I need to recommit my life to Christ, or I need to know Christ. I need to be born again. Is there anybody in this place right now? I'm just looking over the congregation. Praise God and see if there is anybody. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and pray that even if there's nobody. And you say, why do you do that, Pastor? I do that just in case somebody brings somebody. There's always an opportunity to pray this simple prayer. So let's pray together. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is who he said he is. He's the Son of God. He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day on. I receive his forgiveness from all my sin in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you didn't raise your hand, you wanted to raise your hand, I want to know about it. We want to give you something to help you in your walk with God. If you're online and you prayed that prayer with us today, please let us know. We'd like to send you some things to help you in your walk with God. And we rejoice with you. Let's stand right now. We have our sending out verse that we speak over this church, pray it over this church every Sunday as we leave. And let's go ahead and say it out loud together. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful Christmas. We'll see you next week, Christmas Eve. It's going to be a great Christmas service, and we love you. Thanks for watching today. We're going to set up for our luncheon, so those of you that are staying for that, we're going to need all the help we can get. Right, Miss Abram? All right.